You have your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 5. If you have your bulletin, I just wanted to look at the back of that for just a second. It tells us an article there on the Beatitudes. It says, "You're blessed when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you." And I can relate to that, having lost a mother. And Carol's dad is here today from Southeast Oklahoma, and just want to tell you, as a church family, we appreciate your love and support and prayers. And I was here last Sunday morning and back again this Sunday after being in Southeast Oklahoma to assist in funeral arrangements and preaching the funeral for my mother-in-law. We appreciate Pastor Lay and Janet and John and Sherry being there, and many of you being there in spirit and praying for us, and appreciate your cards and your thoughtfulness. And, I think if we live according to the Word of God, we know that the Lord's coming back for all of us, and we won't have to wander around preaching funerals here and there. We're going to be with the Lord forever, and I don't think it's going to be too long. Amen. Looking forward to that day. It also says on the back of that bulletin, "You're blessed when you worked up a good appetite for God. He's food and drink and the best meal that you'll ever eat." And the text this morning is Matthew 5, 6. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Okay, amen, goodbye, that's it. It's pretty easy. You know, it really is easy, but sometimes we make it challenging and we make it difficult. Two or three weeks ago, I had this completely filled with notes, and today I'm going to let you fill it up. As you've noticed, my outline has gotten thinner and skimpier. But we did get one done even by long distance for you this morning. And, you know, as we've gone through this Beatitudes, I do take notes myself, and I see you guys taking notes. So plenty of white spaces today to fill in this morning. But we talked last week about this simple principle, and I believe that it's true. If you obey, God will bless. Amen. It's very simple. And yet, so often in Christianity, we do make our life more complicated than it ought to be. We complicate our life by getting infiltrated with these things and those things and this agenda, and our schedules are so busy. But to stand in His presence this morning and to worship the Lord, it's awesome. The pre-prayer time at the beginning of service, the time that we have with ushers and greeters before service, Saturday night prayer before that, all through the week building up to Sunday morning. This is not a wasteful time. This is the most valuable time that you have this morning. And if you just get one little gold nugget or one little simple thought, we can feast on that for a long time. I believe in the Word of God. And we need to get into that manual, and we need to digest it. We do need to dwell in 2012 in the Word of God, because it's bread. Amen. It's living bread. Take your Bibles, and you don't have to travel very far. And I told the guys upstairs on PowerPoint to not fill in all these scriptures, because you need to exercise your fingers today and do a little bit of work and help me out. So go with me to Matthew again, and we're going to look a little bit further at another passage of Scripture. John. You don't have to go very far. Make you work just a little bit. John chapter number 4. And I want to begin here today. And then next week we're going to move a little bit further and combine some of those Beatitudes together and kind of culminate this series of messages next week on the Beatitudes. So be sure and be here next week and mark that on your calendar. In John chapter number 4, this is an illustration beginning in verse number 6 that many of us are familiar with. But there's so many good points to it, and I want to take time to read maybe a portion of it, and you follow along with me. Let's begin in John chapter 4, verse number 6. It says, "Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat there on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And so there came a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said unto her, 'Give me to drink.'" Sounds like my kids all day long. for his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria to him, how is it that you're a Jew and you ask drink of me, which I'm a woman of Samaria, for the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans? So Jesus answered and said to her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. And the woman said to him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence thou hast this living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and the children and his cattle? And Jesus answered, and he said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water will not get thirsty again, never thirst. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. You're never going to get thirsty. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And Jesus said unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I don't have one. I don't have a husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. Can you imagine all the blood leaving her body right then? In that saidest thou truly. And the woman said to him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and say ye that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh, and ye shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. Ye know what ye worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ, and when he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. I'm him. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman, yet no man said, what seekest thou, or thou talkest with thou her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way in the city and said to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and they came unto him. You'll have to forgive me. When I start reading the Bible, I can't stop. I just keep on reading. It's so good. Now, I love this story because it is a clear indicator that Jesus knows us, cares about us, loves us, and he has something to offer us. This woman really didn't recognize who she was talking to until he began talking to her about her own life. Many times I think we have this security box buried deep within us and nobody knows about it. And yet Jesus knows our thoughts. He knows our ways. He knows our intentions. And it should bring us comfort. But I was just thinking about this woman's history, how that she had failed not once, not twice, not three times. I mean, she's Zsa Zsa Gabor. I mean, five times she's been married. And now it looks as though maybe she's thinking about it for a sixth time. Some people just don't ever get it, do they? But Jesus' approach to this woman was not condemnation. It was love and forgiveness. He was not concerned about her rugged, not very well written resume. He was concerned about her eternal destiny. And as he spoke to her, he talked to her about water. How many's ever gotten thirsty before? We want water. We want something to drink. I was on a Boy Scout trip one time. I remember when I was a kid and I was like, I don't know, maybe 8 or 9 years old. And our scout masters, you know, took us like 3 miles, and it was in the middle of August, and I got back, and I think the cub den mother, whoever she was, had like 30 gallons of Kool-Aid, and I probably had about 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 of those cups of Kool-Aid when I got back, because I was thirsty, and it satisfied my thirst. You know, internally, the only thing that can really satisfy your thirst is Jesus, spiritually. Physically, a drink of water may take care of something temporarily, but you're going to have to take another drink at some point, and another one, and another one, and another one, because it's never satisfied. I believe today, if we will hunger for righteousness and thirst for righteousness, we will receive more and our cup will run over because it is full. It's not just half full. If you were to go into a restaurant today and order a beverage and the waiter came back and all the waiter gave you was half a glass of Coke or half a glass of Pepsi or half a glass of water, you would think, what is going on here? Are they out of pop? Are they out of water? Why do I only have half a cup? It would be rather peculiar. But 9 times out of 10, they will come back and they will refill that thing and refill that thing and refill that thing. A few years ago, I started to get just a little bit smarter and realize that Cokes are like $2 and $3. And I realized I could have water for free. So I thought, you know, I'm going to save a little bit of money and just order water. Some of you are nodding your heads like, yeah, we're getting old like you and smarter like you, you know. Water is free. At least most places. I think there's two things you should never have to pay for. These are my personal convictions. I don't think you should ever have to pay for TV, and I don't think you should have to pay for water. They're ripoffs. We pay more for water and TV monthly than what is necessary. Remember when TV was free? How about when water tasted good and it was free? But we've begun to believe through whatever that water's not good and we've got to go buy it. Jesus has free stuff. He likes to give things away. Can you imagine the intensity and the excitement and the enthusiasm? This woman really, I don't think she comprehended everything that had just taken place in this conversation. But I believe that people recognize that this woman was changed. When you give your life to Christ, there should be transformational change. There should be a difference in how you view life and how you think about life. The Bible says, blessed are those who hunger for righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger for righteousness. Are we hungering for righteousness? Are we hungering for humanistic philosophy? Are we hungering for carnality? Are we hungering for our own desires to be met? Or are we hungering for His presence? Nothing could have led us into the presence of God any more than these worship songs this morning. We shouldn't have to have any prodding or any pleading to get into the very presence of God. It ought to be automatic. Blessed are those who hunger for righteousness. In John chapter 10 and verse number 10, it says, I have come to give life and life abundantly. The thief comes to kill and to destroy, but Jesus comes to give you life abundant. Amen? Amen. Life abundant. If you are hungry, you are going to go somewhere this afternoon that can take care of that physical need. If you are thirsty, you're going to go somewhere where you can take care of that physical desire for liquid to go down into your body. Now, God has created a beautiful invention. It's called the human being, because whatever goes in is going to come out, right? So I try to tell my children, don't drink a lot right before you go to bed. They don't listen. They drink 8 gallons of stuff and bingo, you know what happens. One of the problems in today's world is we have a lot of constipation. We have spiritual constipation. We absorb everything, but it just stays there. With inflow, there must be outflow. Amen. It's got to come out. Amen? Got to come out. Got to come out. What does that mean? What does that mean? I shouldn't have to tell you what that means. What that means is when you come into the presence of God and you receive on a serious note, you should go out of here expecting something to happen through the week. In other words, there should be divine appointments. There should be ministry. There should be ministry involvement. Because you have received, it should not sit there until next week. It should flow out into the marketplace, into the business place, into the home, into the family, into the phone that you sit on and talk to endlessly for hours and rack up a phone bill. Something ought to converse in there about a relationship with Christ. We need outflow. Jesus did not give us this word for us just to absorb it and then not apply it. Blessed are those who hunger and those who thirst for righteousness. And the reward is they shall be satisfied. How shall they be satisfied? Emotionally, physically, and spiritually. They're going to be satisfied. They're going to be full. I mean, have you ever gone to the table and left away hungry? How many have ever been hungry in your life before? You know what? You raised your hand, but think about it. When have you really been really hungry? Automatically, we eat. We eat 3 times a day, sometimes 4 times a day. Sometimes people eat all day long. I mean, we snack and we eat and we eat and we eat. But to hunger, have we really been hungry where we hurt? Have we been hungry where we hurt? When I was about 9 years of age, I remember being hungry and I was literally crying, and I was looking at my dad, and I said, "It's time, Dad. We've got to go." He was working a part-time job past his full-time job. And I said, "Dad, it's like 7 or 8 o'clock at night. I hadn't had supper yet. I'm hungry. I don't ever remember a pain in my body like that." Aren't we blessed as Americans? Because somewhere along the line, you're going to get fed. You're going to get something today. You're going to get hungry. But are we hungry for the things of God? Are we hungry for spiritual things? Are we hungry for His presence? We do a lot of things in life, but do we really get hungry for spiritual fullness? Do we really get hungry for God to manifest His presence in us? If He has come to give us life and life abundantly, then we ought to be hungry for some things that are spiritual. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And I don't have near enough time this morning for this beatitude, but I want to share a couple of things with you about the benefit and about the reward. Fullness, to have fullness, you have to desire it and you have to pursue it. Amen? You have to desire it and you have to pursue it. A lot of people, when they sit down at the table, you don't have to say twice. I mean, a minute, you pray. It's happening. We're partaking, we're eating, we're fulfilling that physical need. In worship, many times, you don't have to say it. You don't have to encourage it. You don't have to prod people along. They're lifting their hands. They're shouting. They're singing. They're dancing. They're coming to the altar. They're praying. They're singing in the Spirit. I mean, the glass is not half empty. It's full and it's running over. To have fullness, you've got to desire it and pursue it with a purpose. There's a purpose to being full. God did not send us His Spirit for us to be full and do nothing with it. Hallelujah. Wow, what benefits there are. There's physical benefits. The Bible says He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. With His stripes we are healed. Yeah. I know there are many. I've talked to you this morning coming into the building that are not feeling well in body. The Bible says, by His stripes I am healed. In Jesus' name. The symptoms may be there, but I am healed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 7 says these words, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind." He doesn't want you to be living on an emotional roller coaster. Some homes today are like that. People have depression, oppression. They are all kinds of worries and fears and anxieties and they're nervous about things and excited about things. God just wants you to be balanced. He wants you to have focus. He wants you to have purpose. For listen to this. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." He wants us to think properly, react properly. Hallelujah. And then be full of God. Be full of God. Amen. Hallelujah. This is so good this morning that if you get into the fountain and you get into the water source and you receive what God has for us, that freedom that flows freely will flow out of you and reproduce other disciples. In fact, I was reading this morning in Revelation, it talks about the water of life. It talks about the river of life. that pure river of life. How that trees are standing beside that river of life. Because there's a source, a root system. There's something powerful there. How many have ever heard that a tree can produce more than one kind of fruit? I know some of you are going to look at me this morning kind of funny. I lived in southeast Oklahoma for a little while. We pastored our first church, and I was talking to these guys, and they were like, you know, you can take a branch and graft it into a tree and make that tree produce a different kind of nut. It may be a native or it may be a paper shell, but it can produce more than one, multiple. And I didn't know all that. Being from the city, I didn't even really care if we had a tree in the yard. But living in the country, learned a lot of life's experience. And they were talking, they were saying, yeah, Bill talking to Joe, whoever their names were back then, talking about, yeah, you can take that branch and graft it in the tree and produce multiple fruit. Now, here's where it got wild, and I got off the bandwagon and they started going this direction. They said, and some guy told me that you could even get multiple fruit off of a tree. And I kind of backed up on that one. And they said, yeah, haven't you ever heard of a cocktail tree, like apples and bananas and different kinds of fruit on one tree? And I thought, I don't know about that one. The one nut I can buy into. I'm going all different directions on this one. But more than one fruit on the tree. How could that be? Well, in the Word of God, it talks about multiple fruit on a tree. I found it in the Word of God. And the Bible not only says that there is fruit available and fruit producing, but continuously, month after month after month after month after month. Now, I am not a gardener. My entire life has existed in one garden. It had 6 tomato plants in it. I loved it. We ate tomatoes. It was wonderful. And that's the last garden that I've ever had. I don't raise fruit trees. I know nothing about what I'm talking about this morning, except... Hallelujah. Oh, I was doing so good till I said that. Better go back up to the notes. Pastor Lay will now finish this message. Oh, I gotta find something here in the Bible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man. Five people just woke up. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Man, preachers dig their own holes, don't they? Hallelujah. Okay. It's in the Bible. Go to Revelation chapter number 22. Revelation chapter number 22. Amen. I see people out there just crossing through all their notes. He knows nothing about what he... Hallelujah. Skip to the end. Revelation chapter number 22. Revelation chapter 22, verse number 1. John has this vision. And he sees in this vision, and he showed me a pure water of life. Clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb of God. Written in the Word of God. Revelation 22, 1. Look there. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was a tree of life, which bear 12 manners of fruits. It's in the Bible. And it yielded fruit every single month. Hallelujah. And the leaves of the trees were there for the healing of the nations. It's in the Bible. The tree, fruitfulness, multiple fruits, more than one. Something powerful. There's a message to be gleaned here. We can have ministry and we can have harvest. We can come to church, have it all down. We know when it's going to end. We know when it's going to begin. We know when the next service is. We have predicted so much. And we know exactly when to pick up the kids from the nursery and the children's church. We know exactly when the last phrase will be said, the last song will be sung. We produced a ritual many times, and we know what's going to happen because we have this set schedule. But in the Word of God, there's no timetable. In the future ministry of spiritual fullness, people are not hung up by time. Because the Bible says there is no time there. The Bible is very clear. And here in Revelation 22, John has this vision, a pure water of life. Now, until we see this, until we experience this, until we get this, this is what I believe the Lord wants us to receive this morning, if nothing else. God today wants to measure into you more than a drop. He wants to give you bucketfuls of blessing. In fact, He wants to bless your head, your family, your children, their children, with the anointing and the power of the Spirit. In fact, in the Word of God, all throughout the Old Testament, it was predicted. John the Baptist came and he said, you know, I'm here to prepare the way. Jesus, full of the Spirit, as he returned from Jordan. Paul, full of the Spirit. In fact, for his ministry, the Bible says that a man came, laid hands on him, and prepared him for his apostleship for ministry. Peter, full of the Spirit, saw many come to know Christ and many filled with the Spirit. Let me tell you, in the book of Ezekiel, the Bible tells us that he also has words to write, and he sees this water running that's ankle deep and knee deep, and then it's water to swim in. God has something more. God has something deeper. God has something higher. Ezekiel chapter number 47 talks about this water that is, it's living, where there has been drought and deadness and dryness. In Ezekiel 47 verse 11, death equaled drought. It equaled no life. It equaled a miry place. It equaled a marshy place. It's given to salt. But where there was life, there was water ankle deep, knee deep, and waters to swim in. And there was fish in the water and trees on the banks because it was sustaining life, this river. Wherever the river went, there was life. Wherever the river flowed, there was life. People were drawn to the place of sustenance. We've seen it in movies. We've seen it on TV where people camp along the river. The river provides productivity. The river provides life. In Psalm 36 and verse number 8 says these words, they shall be abundantly satisfied, Psalm 36, 8, with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of pleasures. Psalm 36, 8. What does that mean? That means today, tomorrow, sometime this week, you're going to put some fuel in your vehicle. And next week, you're going to put more in there. And next week, you're going to put more in there. And next week, you're going to put more. I wish you didn't have to put any. Today, we're going to eat. Tomorrow, we're going to do the same thing. Well, if you could just cut out all those things that you do, getting gas and eating, you could save a lot of time, but it requires time. You're going to eat today, eat tomorrow, eat next week. You're going to get gas today. You're going to get it next week. You're going to get it whenever you have to go to the pump again. You see, in the Christian walk, this is the thing. On the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit was poured out, but He keeps being poured out. It wasn't an Acts 2, it's over. It kept going and kept flowing and kept flowing and kept flowing. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here today. Our grandmas, our grandpas, our great-grandmas, our great-grandpas, they experienced the spiritual heritage. And today, the experience is for you and I not to quench the Spirit, but to be, according to Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 18, to be filled with Him continuously, all the time. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And so what it means is this. You can get fat spiritually in the house of God. You come in here and you get fed. You leave here, you come back, you get fed some more. You come in here, you get fed, you leave, you come back, you do it again. Why? Because you're being fed over and over and over and over again. If that were not true, what you would do is just come every so often because you're not really getting what you need. You're just kind of going out there wherever and trying to get this here and that here. But to get a solid meal, you're coming to the house of God and you're feasting and worshiping and loving Him and serving Him and learning and growing and discipling, maturing and growing relationships and being involved in ministry. And because of that, there's outflow through the week. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. I got 8 or 10 people to baptize, so I have to quit, but I could go another hour and a half. You know what? God wants to rain mercy and love and revival and renewal. In fact, in Acts 3, 19, he says, times of refreshing will come from the presence of God. Amen. Bow your heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for Acts 3, 19 that tells us clearly, times and seasons of refreshing will come from God. And Lord, we become weary and we become worn out and we become exhausted. And like a weary traveler walking down the road, just thirsty. Oh, if I could just get a drink. If I could just get a meal. If I could just find a place to lay down. Every head bowed this morning and every eye closed today as the Holy Spirit moves. Times of refreshing will come from the presence of God, according to Acts 3:19. You may be here today and you are dry and thirsty. You may be here today and you are hungry for His righteousness. You may be here today and initially you have received the promise and the power and the fullness, and God has filled you. I mean, you can remember the day where God filled you with His presence. But here today, because of this and that and this and that, and really accidentally you just kind of stagnated and drifted away. And instead of it being a pool of refreshing, it's become a stagnant pond and there's no life there. It's in fact, most of it, that pond is just dried up. With your eyes closed and your heads bowed, I'm just going to ask our service pastors if they would come. And with every eye bowed and every eye closed, every head bowed this morning, Isaiah 48:18 says, Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments. Oh, that thou had listened to me. Then you would have had peace like a river and righteousness as the waves of the sea.
This has been a production of Cornerstone Church in Grove, Oklahoma. For more information about Cornerstone, you can call 918-786-6164 or send an email to info@cornerstonechurchofgrove.com. Thanks for listening.